Being sensible, thinking sensibly, has to do with right thinking. Instead of having thoughts controlled by anger, worry, wine, pleasures, irritation, money, younger women must have their minds ultimately correctly thinking and in context, focused on the right things, the things of Christ.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, whenever we come to portions of Scripture that call us to be something or become something, it requires a very important basic first step.
You know, Dave, that's absolutely right. And that first step is to be thinking rightly, to have our minds renewed. You see, initially that's through the saving work of Jesus Christ as we repent and believe in Him. But then it's through the sanctifying work of His Word, permeating our hearts, addressing our thinking, our actions, and our behaviors. This is how we become more like Christ. Now, today we're going to see how renewing our minds is key to overcoming one of the greatest stumbling blocks that we all face. Our text is Titus chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 5.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
That's impossible. And you know it, right? It's impossible apart from Christ empowering you, impossible apart from you saying, Lord God, I can't do it, but you've asked me to do it, and I trust you, and I believe you'll do it through me. Okay? Secondly, we see that younger women are to be children lovers. It's the same thing. It speaks of a tender affection for the children, a tender affection for their children, philos technon. There are to be philo aner, husband lovers, and also philos technon, children lovers here. You are to be tenderly affectionate with your children. And sometimes we're tempted not to be that way, right? Because children are children, right? And certainly mothers being around their children most likely more often than the dads are tempted not to be affectionate towards the children, right? Now, I'm not talking about being a buddy-buddy with your child, which is kind of the way people do it these days. You still are their parent, but you can be tender and affectionate towards them, and that is what you are to be in Christ, tender and affectionate. Husband lovers, children lovers, and also along with the husbands, this is not based on the worthiness of the husband, and thus it's not based on the worthiness of the child, right? It's just what you are to be. Now, some of you have been believers and you recognize, I have not been a husband lover. I have not been a child lover. And I would ask you, first of all, to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And if you believe you are a believer, then I would exhort you to go before the Lord and confess that. Let's say your children are grown up now. Your husband is older now, obviously. Confess that to God, first of all, I haven't done this and I am sorry. And then go to your kids and say, you know what? I blew it here and I'm sorry. And just humble yourself before them. So whether you're a younger woman, now you know the command, but if you are an older woman who failed in this and you were a believer, I would go to them and say, I'm sorry. As I've studied the Word of God, I see I wasn't what I was supposed to be in Christ. And I'm sorry. And humble yourself before them. Ultimately, God. Older women are to be teachers of what is good in order that the younger woman would be caused to think rightly and continually, habitually be those seven things. First of all, husband lovers, then children lovers. And now we're going to see the second of three areas of what they are to be. First of all, what we just reviewed was how younger women are to be in relationship to their families. Secondly, we're going to see today, Lord willing, how they are to be in relationship to self. And then lastly, we're going to see how they are to be, Lord willing, next week in relationship to their calling and duty in Christ. So here we go. What are they to be in relation to self? Titus chapter 2, and let's start back in 3 because it's all connected. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good that manifests beautifully, that they may encourage, or sophronizo, cause them to think rightly, young women to love their husbands, or literally be husband lovers, to love their children, or literally be children lovers, and then we have two more, to be sensible, pure. Notice we have the third and fourth adjectives in this list of seven. They're to be sensible and pure. Younger women, this is what you are to be in Christ. There should be no mystery to what God has called you to. The next time you're wondering, oh Lord, what is your will for me? What should we do this next year? What should we do about this or that? Go back to Titus and say, well, first of all, am I being this in Christ? This is what you are to be, sensible and pure. Okay, so let's take a look at this. Now, I think we need to recognize that these two things go together, being sensible and being pure. And first of all, we have this word sensible. And if you remember, the sound teaching from the older women should cause them to be sensible. It's the same word, sophron or sophronizo. And if you'll remember, we've looked at this word quite a bit. Titus is all about right thinking. It's about right thinking manifest in good works in the context of godly relationships. And here now, this is what younger women are to be, sensible. Now, if you remember, we looked at this word sophron before, and it's made of two Greek words, sozo, which means to save, and phron, which speaks of the mind. A saved mind. It's a redeemed mind. You're to be thinking rightly. It literally speaks of being in one's right mind. And remember when we looked at it earlier in Mark chapter 5, we saw the demoniac. Mark chapter 5 verse 14, I'll read it for you. And the herdsmen ran away and reported. This is after the demons were sent into the pigs or the swine and went over the hill. The demons were cast out of by Christ of the demoniac. And the herdsmen ran away and reported in the city out in the country, and all the people came to see what happened, and they came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed, and in his sophron, right mind. Right mind. He was possessed, he was out of his mind, and when Christ cast out the demons, he was sitting in his right mind. He was thinking rightly in this context. It speaks of thinking. It speaks of being of sound mind. It denotes a cool head, balanced mind, self-control, moderation of thinking. It speaks of having a healthy mind. It's also translated prudent in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 2. And then in other versions of the Bible, it's translated New King James, temperate and discreet, NIV, self-controlled. And I think it has all these meanings. The idea is being sensible, thinking sensibly, has to do with right thinking. Instead of having thoughts controlled by anger, worry, wine, pleasures, irritation, money, younger women must have their minds ultimately correctly thinking and in context focused on the right things, the things of Christ. Now, not only are younger women to be sensible, we're going to see throughout Titus that all of us are to be thinking sensibly. We saw earlier in chapter 1, verse 8, that elders are to be sensible. If you just flip back a couple verses, Titus chapter 1, we'll start with verse 7. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, verse 7, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible. You can't have anyone leading the church who is not in their right mind in Christ. They need to be sensible. It is an absolute requirement of the leadership of the church. And here we see older women are to teach the younger women what is good, that they would be sensible. That they would be sensible. Later on, we see it also in Titus chapter 2. We see it a whole bunch of times. And I'll just point it out as we read through chapter 2 here. But as for you, verse 1, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, here's our words, sensible. Sound in faith, love, perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage sophronizo, the young women, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, same words, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. And then we have one command for young men. Likewise, I urge the young men to be sensible. Okay, so young men here who are saying, okay, that's for the younger women. It's coming for the young men. We are all to be thinking rightly. We are all to be in sound mind in the context of Christ. And then he goes on here, young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself an example. Now speaking of Titus, of good deeds, with purity of doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, in order that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. And then if you look down at verses 2, 11, and 12, we have it again. For the grace of God, I read this earlier, has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. And what's the first thing God's grace is doing for the body of Christ? To live sensibly. The Christian life is about the renewed mind, about thinking rightly in Christ. We lived in a futile mind before Christ. Every believer is called to think sensibly, to right thinking. It is to be a characteristic of older men, elders, older women, young men. We have been redeemed from our futile way of life inherited from our forefathers. The way we used to think was just totally wrong. It was selfish and self-centered and self-focused. It was worldly, and we've been redeemed from that. We don't have to be conformed to the world anymore. We are to be right-minded. Now, what is it that tempts us, including young women, to not be right-minded? What are the dangers for everybody? The dangers for all of us here. What is it that we should never see in the lives of elders, and thus older men, older women? What areas should younger men and younger women be admonished to think properly in? Obviously, it's anything that causes us not to think properly, anything that controls our thinking. We saw a few months ago in the book of Philippians that we're not to be controlled by worry, right? We saw also with the elders, they're not to be controlled by, in 1 Titus chapter 1, anger and pleasures and wine and money, right? But ultimately, I think the thing that controls us the most for all of us is probably worry or fear. And I want to ask you, are you a worrier? Do you worry about things? Do you worry about anything? Do you worry? Are you anxious? You are not in your right mind when you are worrying. You are not being sensible when you are worrying. And we are all tempted to worry multiple times throughout the day. We are all tempted to be conformed to the world, to think the way the world thinks. The world does not have Christ, so the only thing they can do is worry about it or deny it. Are you a worrier? Well, what causes us to think rightly, to think sensibly? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world conform you by default. Don't start thinking like the world, but instead be transformed, he says, by the renewing of your mind. The renewal of the mind will stop the process of being conformed to the world. They are mutually exclusive. By the renewal of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks of all the ways the Ephesians used to walk, and the futility of their mind, and the hardness of their hearts, and the darkness, all those things relating to how they thought before they were saved. And he says in Ephesians 4:20, but you didn't learn Christ this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in the reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness, holy and truth. We believers, when we are tempted to sin, we set aside that thinking and we renew our minds with the word of God. And think rightly. And older women are to be teaching younger women who certainly have a myriad of things that they could be worrying about or whatever, to think rightly. Folks, our society runs to man's ways to take care of wrong thinking. Runs to psychiatrists or drugs or whatever it is. But here we see, ultimately, it is Christ that causes us to live and think rightly. Folks, the Christian life is about thinking right. It is about the renewed mind which can bring glory to God through obedience by the power of the Spirit when His Word dwells richly in us. The Christian life is about offering ourselves as living sacrifices to God rather than to sin, having our minds renewed so that we would prove in our actions what the will of God is. And this is what elders are to be. This is what older women and older men are to be. And this is what younger women are to be: sensible. I want to ask you, are you of sound mind? Are your thoughts intoxicated? Or are you intoxicated by your thoughts which do not line up with the Word of God? Folks, we're all tempted to do that. And older women come alongside the younger women and encourage them, teach them what is good so that they will be sensible. Teach them the Word of God so that they'll think right in the context of all the temporal difficulties they might experience. And not only are younger women to be sensible, we'll see ultimately they are to be walking in righteousness. Back to Titus 2, and I'm going to read back in 3 because it all flows together. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible. We just looked at that. We've looked at it a lot. And then he says, pure. Now, folks, I believe the order here is important. To be pure, you need to be thinking rightly. You need to be sensible. It is the right thinking, the renewed mind in Christ, that leads to right behavior. It is when our hearts are controlled by the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, that we act properly. And that's what we saw earlier in Romans chapter 12. And now in our passage, we see that younger women are to be sensible and then pure. Now, what comes to your mind when you think of purity in the context of the Bible or whatever? First of all, we think of sexual purity, and certainly this word carries an element of that. But the concept actually extends farther than that in Scripture. It extends much greater than that, although it includes that. The word translated pure here is hagnos. And although it certainly can represent ceremonial purity, as we see in John 11 and in Acts, we see it used more consistently in Scripture to speak of moral purity. It generally speaks of that which is free from sin, unstained by sin. It speaks of that which is morally the same all the way through. It's genuine without stain. It generally speaks of that which is free from sin. Well, with that in mind, let's take a look at a few passages in which this word is contained. And first of all, I want to look at some in the Old Testament. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. And I'll read this for you. And if you want to follow along, feel free, but I'm going to read through a few verses pretty quickly. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from sin? What the writer of Proverbs is saying, who can say they can be pure within their own means? No one can do that. No one can purify themselves, right? But ultimately, the concept here is purity from sin. Purity from sin. We look down to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and let's actually turn there right now. 1 Timothy 5, verse 19 is just before Titus. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19. Paul speaking to Timothy. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Those who continue in sin, this is the idea of sin here, rebuke in the presence of all so that the rest also may be fearful of sinning. If you've got sinning elders, rebuke them in front of everybody that everybody would be fearful of sinning. It's a serious issue. I solemnly charge you, now here's a pretty strong charge, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, of His chosen angels, to maintain these principles without bias. Do nothing in a spirit of partiality. Do not lay hands on someone too hastily and thus share responsibility for their sins, for the sins of others. Don't appoint someone too quick or you are going to share for their sins. And then he says, keep yourself, translated here, free from sin. It means pure, it's the same word. Keep yourself pure, Timothy, free from sin. Now, we all sin, right? We all mess up. But he's talking about someone who's living continually, habitually, who is dabbling in sin. And we'll see this. The same word is used in 1 Peter chapter 3 in relationship to how wives are to react to the unbelieving husbands. 1 Peter chapter 3, in the same way you wives be submissive to your own husbands, the same way Christ was to the Father. Christ was not demeaned by being submissive to the Father. He was obedient and trusting himself to the one who judges righteously. In the same way, wives, be submissive, trusting Christ to your own husbands, so that any of them are disobedient to the word, they might be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. And here's the behavior of their wives. As they observe your pure, or hagnos, or chaste, and respectful, or fearful behavior. A purity and a respect and reverence. That's what wives should be like, right? We have girls gone wild these days, everywhere. And I mean that in a bad way, because what they're doing is they're doing everything but what God has called women to be in Christ. And here he says, pure and respectful. Pure and respectful. We see this concept also used in parallel with sin in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It's a picture of repentance in James for those of you we've been going through James. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and then our word, hagnos, purify your hearts. Speaking of being cleansed from sin, stop sinning. Go and sin no more by God's power. We see that Paul desired to present the Corinthians as a pure church. But he was concerned because Satan had come in and was deceiving them through false teachers. And Paul uses this same word in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For I am jealous, verse 2, for you with a godly jealousy. I betroth you to one husband, that is Christ, Paul speaking of the church, that I might present you as a pure virgin. That word, hagnos. But I am afraid lest, as the serpent deceived thee by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray. Folks, you need to think right before we act right. Your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of a devotion to Christ. We see God's wisdom is pure, James chapter 3. But the wisdom from above is first hagnos. Pure. God's wisdom, in contrast to worldly wisdom, which is earthly, natural, and demonic, first and foremost is pure. God's word is free from sin. It is pure. And where do we find God's wisdom? Psalm chapter 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are, and in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, pure words. Hagnos, free from sin. As silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times, God's word is pure.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you mentioned that we should be free from worry. So for that person listening who's a self-confessed worrier, what would you tell them?
You know, Dave, first of all, I would remind them that worry isn't just a harmless pastime. Scripture reveals that worry is sin. We're commanded not to worry in Scripture. You see, worry by its nature reveals our true view of God and really thus where our faith is at. You know, we may say we trust God, that we believe that he's all powerful, but then we walk away and worry, and our actions deny really our words. So friend, if you are someone who worries, I challenge you to repent of that sin, renew your heart and mind, and ask God to give you the strength and the courage to trust him rather than to worry. You see, the Lord is in control, and when you start to see Him rightly and you obey Him, you'll begin to come before Him in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, and you will find that your heart and mind is guarded in Christ Jesus.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.